The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
First of all, trolling. It's a big problem online. We've spoken about it many times over. Evidently, there are some proposed laws here in Victoria that could try and curb online trolling. With me on the line to talk about this is Dr. Jay Thompson from the University of Melbourne. He's involved with the School of Culture and Communication. Doctor, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
So how widespread is the problem of trolling?
I think trolling's an absolutely huge problem in the digital age, and it's one that's sadly misunderstood. I think the psychological impact of trolling can be absolutely profound. And yet, we're talking about freedom of speech laws and, you know, well, whose speech is the most important. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's very true. In terms of trolling, how do you actually define it? Because I see a lot of instances online where someone has a differing point of view and they're called troll. I mean, obviously that in and of itself is not trolling, but then we see some extreme behaviours that tend to come from anonymous accounts that are trolling.
Absolutely. Well, look, first off, I want to assure your listeners that a difference of opinion is not trolling. I refer to trolling in the most general sense as posting content online with the specific aim of generating heightened, usually adverse, reactions from somebody else. I want to emphasise, firstly, that not all trolling is necessarily harmful. I would point to the advent of rickrolling, where the unsuspecting media user clicks on a link and is transported to the videos of Rick Astley. I mean, you may not be a fan of Rick Astley.
Bit of harmless fun.
A bit of harmless fun. I've been rickrolled with the best of them, and I have rickrolled.
But that trolling behaviour at its very worst is, I think, someone that gets behind a keyboard and deliberately tries to get some sort of reaction. And one of the things you often see people saying online is, don't feed the troll. There's always someone that bites, isn't there?
Yes. Well, there's a lot to go on there. I think that the best known form of trolling, and the trolling that you're referring to, is what the journalist Ginger Gorman calls predatory trolling. Now, predatory trolling refers to posting content online that's harmful, that's hateful, that might be bigoted in nature, with the aim of hurting somebody else.
Yeah, that's where it comes from, obviously, and that is probably the most dangerous form of trolling, because that's when you see cases of online bullying and such, where it just goes way out of proportion.
Yes, well, and absolutely, trolling is itself a form of online bullying. And I think we don't do anyone any favours when we misuse the word trolling. I've heard people having jokes online being referred to as trolling. Well, no, it's not. Difference of opinion isn't trolling. So I think we need to be very clear about the language we use.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. So what are some of the worst examples that you have seen personally of trolling, or that you've read about in some of the literature?
I think, no, great question. I think the best known example at the local level was Charlotte Dawson, the media personality who took her own life back in 2014 after being subject to years of awful trolling and abuse online. Now, an individual's decision to take their own life can't be attributed to a single factor, but I really don't think the abuse that she faced helped her condition in any way. So that's the best known form locally. I'm also aware of many cases, including among friends, of anxiety, of psychological distress, of, you know, caused by trolling behaviours. It's a huge issue, particularly for online moderators who must read everything online. You know, they must read the comments. There's the slogan, don't read the comments. Well, they have to read all the comments, even the comments that are so bad that they don't get published. And they don't get published because you've had to read them and filter them. So, and that's a huge OH&S, you know, risk that's coming into being right this very second.
Yeah, it does make you wonder if the comment moderators do experience forms of PTSD just from the experience of reading what some would call the great unwashed on the internet out there have to say.
Absolutely. I mean, this is an OH&S disaster in the making, and we're only really now establishing, well, you know, what are the harms content moderators face, and, well, what to do about them. because, you know, it's causing a lot of distress.
And, of course, young people are caught in the crossfire as well. Online bullying is a real problem that perhaps our generations didn't have to deal with. When it's young people, it's, I suppose, even worse when it leads down a pathway towards people taking their own life.
Absolutely, and I think there's an absolute requirement for schools to educate students about, well, what is trolling? What is doxing? What is online bullying? How to, you know, manage the bullies? I think there's another issue there of, well, you know, you said earlier, don't feed the trolls, but by the same token, one shouldn't go silent.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I think there's a requirement on the police force to know what to do, because we know a lot of times this kind of behaviour is brushed under the carpet as minor upsets online. It's a lot more.
Just for the benefit of our listeners, what's the difference between trolling and doxing?
Excellent question, so pleased you ask. Look, trolling, well, doxing I would describe as the posting online of personal information. It could be home addresses, it could be photos of loved ones, it could be, in the most extreme situation, bank account details, workplace details. I think it's fair to say that doxing can be a form of trolling, but trolling isn't reducible to doxing. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think that does make sense. So they're both potentially harmful. So the next question has to be, well, you talk about involving the police. From a legislative point of view, how do you bring people to justice? How do you enforce it when quite often people seem to be using fake accounts or hiding behind a veil of anonymity?
Well, where do we start? Look, I certainly think, I mean, there's a huge problem with, you know, locating these trolls, blocking them, so on and so forth. I'm probably not so much able to comment on that as to acknowledge that it's a great challenge the police force face at the moment. I would also want to say that, you know, there is an imperative for the police and the legal profession to take trolling seriously, as opposed to maybe dismiss it as people getting heated online. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a difference. As you say, people can get heated, but
yeah,
Trolling perhaps takes that to another dimension and perhaps has a degree of anonymity to it.
That's correct. I mean, I suppose getting wound up about a football game is a very different degree to posting malicious and violent content with the aim of distressing somebody else.
Speaking of which, yeah, go and look at an AFL club's page after they lose, and that is a good place if you want to look at comments that perhaps, I don't even know how you describe them, perhaps bring out the worst of the internet, and that's perhaps the ones that weren't moderated out. The government, if they're trying to write this legislation, they've got to factor that in, don't they? I mean, it's all well and good to pass laws, but if you can't actually enforce them, what's the point?
Exactly. You've got to walk the walk and talk the talk. Absolutely. And I suppose what we're seeing at the moment is, you know, the debate about freedom of speech. We've got debates about religious freedom. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. And in terms of the legislation process, is there anywhere in the world that you know of that's perhaps got the balance right when it comes to freedom of speech, or has perhaps got the issues around trolling under control? Is there any jurisdiction that's managed to master this, or is it really a case of we're all in uncharted waters here?
I think it's a case of we're all in uncharted waters here. I think there's a growing awareness of what trolling is and its harmfulness, and I suppose if my appearance on your program this morning contributes to that, well, then that's a good thing. I think in terms of legal responses to trolling, I think in terms of individual responses to trolling, government responses, yeah, we're learning as we go.
So from the freedom of speech angle, how do you get that balance right? Because some people say freedom of speech should exist absolutely, and the moment the government starts coming in to regulate speech, it's a slippery slope. Some people say freedom of speech, but hate speech should be banned. So you've obviously got to work hard to get that balance right.
Absolutely, and that's a massive challenge, one which, I mean, I suppose if I was to get to talking about it, we'd be discussing this all day, and I know you've got other guests. So I certainly think questions of intent are hugely integral here. You know, questions of content, disagreeing with someone, like we've said, isn't trolling. It isn't necessarily harmful. It's also acknowledging, I suppose, that freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom from consequences. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. And I suppose as well it comes down to the individual platforms. You know, you can have freedom of speech, but Facebook or Twitter can decide what content they'd like to allow on their platforms or not.
Yeah, and we know that Facebook and Twitter frequently leave up distressing, violent content.
Yeah.
Because it gets clicks, and therefore it gets advertising revenue. Social media companies such as Facebook have been notoriously slow to respond to the trolls, the online bullies, and so forth.
And some of the content is the worst of the worst, like videos, live videos of people taking their own lives, etc.
Absolutely. The Christchurch massacre would be another example. It was taken down, but not soon enough.
So where do you see it all going from here? I mean, we are in uncharted waters, as you say, and the internet is sort of weaving its way into our lives, and it's maturing as a platform. It's already woven, that's true, or it's increasingly weaving, but it's maturing as a platform. We're still learning how to really deal with it, but I suppose over the next 5 or so years, that's going to be telling, isn't it, in terms of how we manage to deal with these issues?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, in terms of where we start, well, who knows? I certainly would suggest that education is absolutely the key. What is online abuse? What is trolling? What is doxing? What is cyber stalking? What do these terms mean? What impact do these phenomena have on individual lives? It's not just strong words or disagreements. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the education should be taking place in schools. I think it should be taking place in universities. I'm a lecturer myself. I often educate students about, well, what is trolling? What is online democracy? Further research needs to be done. There's some great research that's happening at the moment. I want to point in particular to the work of Emma A. Jane from the University of New South Wales. Done some wonderful work on online hate speech, absolutely, and I think this needs to continue. In terms of freedom of speech, well, in many respects, I do think this is a furphy. A number of years ago, I think it was George Brandis remarked that freedom of speech, what was it? People have
the right to be bigots, yeah.
People have a right to be bigots. Well, I suppose if that's where we're starting from, that's a problem. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
No. If freedom of speech automatically equates the freedom to spread hate, well, we're not starting from a very high base, are we?
Look, thank you so much for being on the program. I think you've given people a lot to think about. Maybe not necessarily all the answers are there, but we've at least learned how to grapple with some of the problems. And as we keep saying, over the next 2 years, the conversation that ensues is going to be, if nothing, very interesting.
I hope it will be.
Thanks for being on the program, Dr. Jay Thompson there from the University of Melbourne.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.